Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Red Menu, sponsored by The Athletic once again, the home of football writing. Brilliant writers over there, loads and loads and loads and loads of Liverpool stories. No ads, no annoying pop-ups. You can get 50% off your yearly subscription and a free month by going to www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. We're going to start with an article from The Athletic about Rhian Brewster. It's titled, Rhian Brewster Remains Liverpool's Next Great Hope. But really what I wanted to discuss is something that came out of the game. Now, I didn't know this until we were recording the final word, Rash, but Curtis Jones wasn't supposed to take the fifth penalty, mate.
No, it shows the balls and the confidence that these young lads have got, hasn't it? I didn't realise until I was doing some research for the news agenda. Just pleasantly surprising, I think, was the good thing. I think Klopp came out and said, you know, if he missed it, you know, you get spoken about, but this is something that they remember forever because the fact that it paid off and it worked out. I think Jones was supposed to go before Origi, but then they switched it around and Origi, you know, the local scouser, gets the winning penalty. It's just incredible news.
Absolutely brilliant. So just the quote is, it wasn't my decision for Curtis to take the last one, Jurgen Klopp later admitted, having volunteered information relating to the order of Liverpool's penalties. Had it been down to Klopp, Origi would have been the fifth taker. For those who know Jones best, his willingness to take centre stage in front of Cop was not a great surprise. I mean, it was a brilliant night at Anfield. 19 times the ball at the back of the net. 9 times Arsenal celebrated the ball in the back of the net and yet still went away without a victory against mighty Liverpool FC at Fortress Anfield. We're through to the next round of the quarterfinal. The next round of the Carabao Cup, it is the quarterfinals. We've got no idea what's going to happen genuinely. But as it stands, Oxford are going to host Manchester City. Manchester United are hosting Colchester United, Villa are hosting Liverpool, and Everton are hosting Leicester. The semi-finals haven't been arranged, but it's going to be Manchester City, Manchester United, Everton, Liverpool.
Do you think?
Looks like that's what they're trying to set up.
That'd be good for TV, wouldn't it? Work out well.
If you were trying to set that up, you'd have put Everton against the worst team. City would beat Leicester, so you put Everton against Oxford if you're trying to set that up.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Absolute prick. yeah, no, you're right though. Quarterfinal draw is confirmed. There's loads of stuff come out about this now. Let's just take a little look before we do talk about what Jurgen Klopp said about the quarterfinal draw, Ross. Liverpool's fixtures. November the 2nd, Villa. 3 days later, Genk. 5 days later, City. 8 days later, Palace. International break there. 4 days later, Napoli. 3 days later, Brighton. Four or 5 days later, Everton. 3 days, Bournemouth. 3 days, Salzburg. 4 days, Watford. 18th is Club World Cup. 21st is Club World Cup. 26th is Leicester. 29th of December is Wolves. And the 2nd of January is Sheffield United. Now, we've got the Carabao Cup to fit in there. ESPN have done an amazing piece, Ross, and I'd like you to talk us through this. I'd probably best starting a little bit higher up. Because it does explain a little bit of the background and stuff. So why can't we play the Carabao Cup the week that they want us to play the Carabao Cup, Ross?
Because there's too many fixtures. I'll just quickly read through some of this. So can't we play the Carabao Cup tie before then? There's no spare midweek date. There's just too many fixtures, as you just read out. After the next international break, there's a Champions League round followed by a full set of Premier League games and then the final set of UEFA Champions League games. That takes us to mid-December. So when could it be played? Liverpool are back in the Premier League action after 20th of December, after returning back from Qatar. The next possible spare date is the week of the 7th of January, which is the first leg of the Carabao Cup semi-finals are scheduled. It seems almost certain that the Aston Villa versus Liverpool quarter-final tie will be played then, but the real issue is a knock-on effect for the semi-finals. So basically, they'll have to move the semi-finals to get Liverpool into the quarter-finals. Or, as you'll come into later on, what Jurgen Klopp says, of just I feel like screwing Liverpool over is the right term of phrase to use, but do you just have to either do move it or shoehorn Liverpool into playing, what, three games in the space of 5 days, which is just...
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, what Klopp did say is if they don't find an appropriate place, and I don't mean Christmas Day, 3 a.m, then we don't play the game, Klopp said, following the Arsenal victory. If they don't find the proper date and we can't play the next round, then whoever our opponent is will go through or Arsenal play. I think a lot of people from the Premier League were sitting watching on television hoping Arsenal can do it, but I'm sorry. So what he's hinting at here is that Liverpool, if it's an appropriate date, that one that they consider appropriate isn't found, then they won't play in this game. And they might just forfeit. Maybe Arsenal go back in, which I don't think is ever going to happen.
No,
but it does feel like Villa just progress into the semi-finals. ESPN, though, again, Ross, have done two scenarios. One that's the most likely that they think will happen, which means that, and you can see it on your screen now, the FA Cup third round will be played on January the 4th. The quarter-final that we're talking about against Villa will be played on January the 7th. Then January the 11th, it's Premier League games. Then it's FA Cup replays, Premier League games, FA Cup fourth round, blah, blah, blah. You can see this on your screen now. The scenario that's slightly less likely is, yeah, on the 4th and the 7th, they stay the same. Then it's Premier League games. Then Aston Villa or Liverpool Carabao Cup semi-final leg one, but is a possible FA Cup replay clash, and then it carries on. It's just
a mess.
Insane. And this is the point that Jürgen is trying to get across, Ross, is that you can't... There's a problem with the fixture list. It's not a Liverpool problem, this, and that's why you used the words, and I didn't read them out, we won't be the victim here. Because there's too many competitions, there's too many games, and there's not even one spare midweek thing for Liverpool. Because they're a victim of the, if they are a victim, they're a victim of their own success.
Yeah, this is something that Jürgen Klopp's mentioned in his whole tenure at Liverpool. To be honest with you, I think, you know, it's great having all these cup runs and being successful, and you could argue this is the price you pay for being successful, because obviously didn't win the Champions League, we're not in the World Club Cup, and then it's a bit more simple that way. But he's used to being in, you know, European leagues where they have like a massive winter break, and it's not just a congestive fixture list, it's a knock-on effect that it has on the players. You know, injuries become more apparent because they're playing too much football, fatigue kicks in. You know, I think we're quite lucky now we've got a bit more of a squad that we can use, but like giving them out of games, like you may as well have two teams at that point, you know, because you're playing three games in 8 days for the majority of December. It's just ridiculous.
Stupid. Absolutely stupid. I mean, when I sat down with Jürgen over in America in the summer, we spoke a little bit about systems and, you know, how you employ more than one system as a football manager. And I remember specifically, and this interview is available on theredmanTV.com if you are a subscriber, and you've got a free month if you want to sign up and just watch this interview, 20 minutes sit down between me and Klopp. And he spoke about the idea that I'd have six systems. Liverpool would be able to use six systems if I had time to coach. Like I think one of the things he was talking about, if you like American sport, like American footy, you know, there's not that many weekends a year. It starts in September, it finishes in February. There's 4 or 5 months there, maybe a bit more in the middle. He said, I'd play six systems if I had that much time off. Football would be better for it. He thinks the actual football itself would be technically better. Everybody would know how to do a lot more, but there's just not enough training time. There is no training time here between, you know, the start of November, and by the looks of it, February the 8th or whatever. And here's the thing, this is why it comes back to Liverpool having signed a load of players this summer, I think. Because when are you going to train them? When are you going to get them into the side?
Yeah.
There's just not enough time for all of this.
There's no room for error, is there? Because obviously, you know, challenge for a Premier League title, the Champions League, obviously the Carabao Cup, I know you played the youth and stuff, but you still want to win all those things. You still got to put your best sides out. You still got to, you know, it's like even like just training. It's like it's no time for training because you've got to travel everywhere as well. Obviously, Qatar's like not the nearest place in it.
Not down the 62, mate.
You know, it's a nightmare for people to play. And the other thing as well, I know we hate international breaks and stuff, but I just hope there's some sort of common sense used by international managers or there's. I don't know if you can do that, actually, but do you know what I mean? They look at Liverpool's fixture lists, and there's some sort of agreement there, of like if it's a friendly or whatever it is, I don't know what it is, you know, if England have already qualified or whatever, just let the players have a rest, because that's the other thing that he complains of. Like, it's not, like, and you're right, it's not just Liverpool. It affects the quality of the Premier League. and everything else that going into it, of people playing five games in the space of a week.
Absolutely mental. So we're now on to empireofthecop.com, and this is the latest on Naby Keita's injury. He was obviously taken off last night in the win over Arsenal. If Naby's injury is not so serious, which I hope, then it was a nearly perfect night, Jürgen Klopp told LiverpoolFC.com. He felt a little bit. I saw it. He slipped when he lost the ball. He slipped away. I saw him limping afterwards, and that's why we did it. So hopefully Naby's injury isn't too bad. Now, one of the reasons I think that, you know, we had a big old talk about Naby Keita and his performance over on The Final Word this morning, Ross. Again, that one's out on the redmentive.com if you do want to go and check it out. Obviously, I haven't spoken to you about it, but I think everybody was a little bit underwhelmed with Naby's performance last night. I think everyone wanted him to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. But with Villa at the weekend and the possibility of, if Fabinho plays and he picks up a yellow card, he'll miss City. Having Naby as an option would be maybe a good thing for Saturday.
Possibly, but again, it comes back to the high-pressure situation of, you know, Liverpool need those 3 points. I want Liverpool to go into the City game. I shouldn't really think of that far forward. I want Liverpool to win every game, but go into the City game with a big lead as possible. I don't know whether I'm not filled with confidence by Naby Keita's performances or his injuries at the moment. Last night, he had good spells. I thought him and Chamberlain making runs from deep, got on the ball. We saw the penetrating runs that he can make. But he was playing against, you know, Arsenal kids, and that's where you think you're right. You know, take the game by the scruff of the neck, show us what you can do. And it's also build up a frustration because of how many times have we had this conversation. You go, oh, yeah, Naby's good. He's back now. He's fine. He's injured. I'm sure he will be frustrated as much as we are. But, you know, do you chuck him in for a Premier League game that you must win? Genk probably next week as well is must win if we can get the Champions League done as soon as possible. And then do you chuck him in the City or would, I don't know.
No, it's interesting. I'm just had a quick look over the comments. I'll come to Si in a second, but I can see that there's a big thing going on about Naby Keita. Now, I don't feel that, you know, he had a bad game last night. I just don't think he was involved enough. He disappointed me without him being misplacing passes and missing tackles and stuff. I think, but funny, there's someone in the comments called Ghost, and that was the word that was used to describe him on The Final Word show. Naby being injured is a good thing, says Ghost. At least he's going to be far away from the pitch. I disagree. You saw against Genk what he can do. The quality that he's got, that he can play well. And I think, and I made this point on The Final Word show, that we'll move off Naby after this because we did probably a good 10-15 minute segment on The Final Word. I don't want to tread too much over that for anyone who's going to be watching that one. But for me, it's very difficult to judge the midfield when the rest of the team isn't the same. You know, so when you've got an option of Trent or Robbo to pass the ball out to, it just becomes much easier for the midfielders because they're going to have to think about those type of players as well.
But equally, what effect did Chamberlain have on that game? He scored a worldie. He was involved in the first goal.
I don't think he had a good game. I think he scored a worldie. I don't think he was
involved in
9 out of 10, really. I think
not a 9 out of 10, but you compare him to what Keith did, I think he's still seen glimpses of what Chamberlain could do. He's
probably absolutely. His finish was absolutely outstanding, and you know, he gets down the wing really well in the first minute.
He gave the ball away a lot, actually.
He messed up for their first goal. He gave the ball away for that by playing a crossfield ball. So I'm not saying he had a bad game either. I mean, you know, that finish is unbelievable, but I don't think. And I think Lallana had the better game of the three of them, if I'm perfectly honest with you. And people might disagree with me on that. But anyway, Si, let's get into some of your comments, mate.
Right, so we have got... there was loads of Naby stuff, but yeah, as I say, I'll try and leave that. Joey Murray says, with those fixtures, there's bound to be some mediocre performances and maybe some drop points. I just hope people don't start overreacting if we don't win every game 3-0.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely spot on. Do you agree?
Yeah, but now you've said it, I can foresee it already. I mean, Swiss is not the best place in the world, but, you know, I think James Milner actually said last week, you can't beat your best every game. I think he did an interview with someone, you know, those things will happen. As I said before, fatigue will kick in. People will still fancy the chances against us because they don't want us to win the league, don't want us to win the Champions League and stuff like that, being European champions. I think we've seen already this season that people go up an extra level because they want to make a point against us. We have to be prepared for that as best we can. And the comment's right, you know, natural ability and nature will take its course. If they're knackered. It'll probably come back to what you said, Liverpool didn't buy anyone in the summer. There'll be shouts of, you know, people who didn't foresee 30 games in December going, why don't we buy 9 players? It will happen.
Yeah, but listen, Klopp's doing the right thing here. Klopp has rested all of our players for this game.
yeah.
coming up. You know, we've had so many youngsters came into that squad, so many fringe players got minutes midweek, that he's going to rest them where he can, and we'll probably have to see more rotation as the season goes on and stuff. But then you're thinking about, for me, Imig Genk, a really big, important game. Yeah. And, you want to probably try and have that Salzburg game off in December. The 10th of December, you want to be through in the group by then so that you can rest lads again in a really crucial time of the season. Just give maybe some youth or fringe players a game against Salzburg away from home because you're already through. So Klopp's got to be very clever. He's got to rotate. Is there any more for you there, Si?
Yeah, there's a couple of nice little comments about the youngsters who played yesterday. So I've Great. Got Tani Sujayan says, all the youngsters that played yesterday showed a bright future for Liverpool, including Nico with his amazing work rate at right back. They all gave you everything they could, amazing talent. And Rob Davies says, so proud of our young guns beating the Gooners, who had about 8 regular first teamers from the start with the Premier League subs bench. Get in, mighty Red Boys.
Yeah, that was it wasn't a concern going in, but it was actually a surprise when the teams came out. I was like, Liverpool never left any insurance on that bench. You think, might chuck a man or someone comes on, where they was bringing Guendouzi and stuff, and we put Curtis Jones on for Oxlade-Chamberlain.
And our sub changed the game.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I didn't see that as a negative. I saw it as a negative at the time, but obviously it actually paid off. I think they play a bit out of fear, and obviously being in and around the first team, which they're obviously doing pre-season, I think that's all, you can see that coming to a head and why that's paid off. So obviously they went on the pre-season tour in America, and obviously the latter stages, the mentality kicks in, you learn from that, being at such a young age. Harvey Elliott, again, I know he didn't score, but he just played without fear, which I quite like, direct running at people. Nico Williams at the time, when I left the game, I wasn't sure what to think when I left the game, but I didn't think he was that good. And then obviously afterwards when I did the player ratings, everyone was like, I know he was amazing, watched the highlights, really good. It's all positive.
I was the same, yeah. I was really down on Williams when I come out, having watched it back and having looked at his stats and everything else that goes in and around it. I got it wrong, I'm not saying he got a 10 out of 10 performance, but I think it was a good, solid performance from a young Williams at right back there. So if you're watching, I owe you an apology, here it is. I'm sorry for my player rating, I got it completely wrong.
Did you give him
very good? I don't know, I can't remember myself. What happened in a Blair? And about 50 to 60 to 70 people around me jumping and singing and stuff. It was a good video. I actually enjoyed it. It was really good fun. Thank you for coming down if you did. Anyway, that has been Daily News for today. Don't forget to check out our partners, The Athletic, www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. Get 50% off your yearly subscription, taking it down to about £2.50 per month. Like the video, smash that like button, leave us your thoughts in the comments section below, and we'll see you tomorrow on Red Men News.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.